Welcome to the daily international OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Rabbi Phil Karish of the Orthodox Union filling in for Naftali Herman, who is on break with his family. Thank you so much to each of you for joining today's call on Yom Sheni, the 21st day of Kislev, just a few days shy of Hanukkah. And on that note, I wanted to share an amazing Hanukkah resource with you that the OU has been working on over the last couple of months, an online Hanukkah hub for all things Hanukkah. Take a look for yourself at ou.org/Hanukkah with an H at the end, ou.org/Hanukkah. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce you to a friend, Rabbi Yechiel Morris, the rabbi of Young Israel of Southfield in Southfield, Michigan, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Morris slowly reciting our daily dose of three chapters from Psalms, three prakim of Tehillim, chapters 23, 121, and 130, prakim Kaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, which will be followed by the Mishaberach Recholim and Achenu. We'll conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Morris to learn a little bit about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Morris.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Karish, and thank you to the OU for continuing to have this daily phone call and for all the work that you're doing to support our communities during this very challenging time. So as Rabbi Karish mentioned, we're just a few days away from Hanukkah, and there's a famous question that many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with when it comes to the holiday of Hanukkah, of why is it that we celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah when, after all, the miracle of the oil, they had one jug of oil, they had enough for one day, and the miracle was only for the additional 7 days, and therefore, on the surface, the holiday should last for 7 days and not be an eight-day holiday. That's the famous question associated with Hanukkah. But I have another question that has always troubled me even more than that fundamental and basic question about how many days should Hanukkah last. And that is, why is it that the mitzvah, that the commandment to light the menorah takes place specifically in our homes? Ner Ishu Beso, as the Talmud tells us, that the commandment, the mitzvah, is to light in our homes. I would have thought that a miracle which took place in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, that we should celebrate and we should observe and commemorate such a miracle and such an event by lighting it specifically in our own Mikdash Ma'at, in our miniature sanctuaries, our synagogues, our shuls. If you want to really celebrate and commemorate what occurred to the Jewish people so many years ago in 165 BCE, shouldn't we observe and celebrate the holiday and perform the mitzvah in the location that commemorates where the event took place, in our synagogues and not in our homes? That's a question that has always troubled me. And the answer that I've thought of over the years is that while it's true that that's where the actual miracle occurred, but we need to think about what enabled that miracle to happen. We know that the challenges that the Jewish people faced during the period of Hanukkah was a religious persecution. It was the danger that Hellenism posed to the Jewish people. It was the inability to practice many of the mitzvot, many of the commandments in public. It was the fact that many Jews were succumbing to the Greek values that permeated society at their time. And I believe what gave the Jewish people the ability to continue, which allowed the Maccabees under the leadership of Matthew, and then later Yehuda and his brothers, was the home. It was the values that were instilled within the home. It was the ability to continue to practice Judaism and to perform mitzvot and to study Torah and to have a close-knit environment within the home in which Judaism was nourished and was shared, and the beauty of it was disseminated to the family members, that allowed the Jewish people to endure that very difficult and dark period. And therefore, many years later, as we continue to celebrate the holiday, we don't perform the mitzvah in our synagogues. We have a custom, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Code of Jewish Law tells us, to light the menorah in the synagogue, but we don't fulfill the mitzvah in the synagogue. Unlike Purim, we're just the opposite. In Purim, we're told to go to synagogue. You can fulfill the commandment to hear the Megillah in your home, but ideally we all try to come together, Berovam Hadras Melech, that the more of us come together in synagogue, the greater that we show glory to God. Hanukkah, it's just the opposite. In Hanukkah, we specifically perform the mitzvah inside our home to show that it's always the Jewish home which allows us to instill our values to our family members, to our children. It is the home in which, in this week's Parsha, we're going to read about Yaakov Avinu and his son Yosef. Yosef, who almost succumbed to the wife of Potiphar. In that moment, our rabbis tell us he saw the Dukno Sha'aviv, he saw the image of his father, the values of his home, which allowed him to overcome that very difficult and challenging moment. Hanukkah teaches us that it's specifically we light in our home. And I'll just conclude with the thought that, you know, over the past several months, it's been so challenging. All the holidays that we've celebrated, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, those holidays were diminished because we couldn't go to shul, because it was limited in our ability to join together. This holiday coming up, Hanukkah, in a few days, in many ways is not going to be diminished. It's going to be the same holiday that we've always celebrated, because we celebrate it always in our home. Yes, we have customs nowadays that we go out and we have Hanukkah parties, but the crux of the holiday is within the home, and it's the values that get instilled within the home, and it's the traditions that get passed on from parent to child that has allowed our Jewish people to be strengthened and to march forward all these years, and it will be the home, and it will always be the Jewish home that will allow us to always maintain our fidelity and our devotion to God. Now I'd like to continue with the recitation of the Tehillim of the Psalms. We'll begin with Tehillim Chaf Gimel 23. Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Roi Lo Echzar. Binos Dasha Yarbitzini Amei Menuchos Yinaleini. Nafshi Yishovev Yancheini B'Maglei Tzedek L'man Shemo. Gam ki eilech begeit samaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Shiftecha mishantecha hima yinachamuni. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged sorirai. Dishanta vashemen roshi kosi rivaya. Achtov vachesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayai. Vishafti beveis adonai leorech yamim. And now Tehillim Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shir v'malos esa einai el haharim ein yavo ezri. Ezri meyim Adonai osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglacha al yanun shomracha. Hine lo yanun v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomracha Adonai tzilcha yad yiminecha. Yom ha-mashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach balayla, Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeischa uvoecha, me'ata v'ad olam. And finally, Tehillim Kuf Lamed 130. Shir ha-malos, ma'amakim karasicha Adonai, Adonai shema b'koli tiyena aznecha kashuvos v'kol tachanunai, Im avonos tishmar ya Adonai mi amod, ki imcha slicha v'man tivarei, ki visi Adonai kibsa nafshi, v'lidvaro hacholti, nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker, yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fidus, v'hu yifta es Yisrael mikol avonosov. And now we cite the Mishna Berach for Cholim, the prayer for those who are ill. Mishna Berach, Avoseinu, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Hu Yivarech, V'Yirapei, Es HaCholim. Ba'avorsh anachnu mispalim ba'avurom. Bisharza kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem. Lachlimam, lerapolsam, lachazikam, lachayosam. Yishlach lahem mehira refuah shelema min hashamayim l'chol yevareihem l'chol gideihem misoch shar chole Yisrael refuah hanefesh refuah hagof hashav bagalav izman kariv v'nomar amen. We'll conclude with Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim b'tzara v'ashivya ha'omdin bein bayom bein b'yabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzei mitzara l'rvacha u'me'afeila l'oro mishibud l'geula hashav bagalav izman kariv v'nomar amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Morris, for your divrei chizuk and divrei tefila. As we transition to the next part of the call, I would love to just ask you a few questions to share with the tzibur here today, many hundreds of people from around the globe. So first question is, how are you doing? How is your family doing? And how is your community doing?
Great. Thank you so much, Rabbi Karish, for arranging all this and for the questions. So thank God, yeah, we're doing well here in Southfield, Michigan, facing the challenges that everyone else is facing around the country and around the world. But thank God we also feel that we've had many blessings over the last several months, and we're very grateful for everyone's continued health.
Great, thank you. For those who may have never been to Southfield and to see your shul and your community, could you share a brief overview of your shul and in the community in which your shul is found?
Sure. So I had the opportunity, I think, a few months ago to talk also and to share on the Tillam call. We spoke a little about the community. Not much has changed. Thank God we're doing great here in Southfield. Young Israel Southfield, we have about 140 families. We're part of the greater Detroit Jewish community. There aren't that many, very few Jews live in Detroit itself, but in various suburbs, Southfield, Oak Park, West Bloomfield, and several others, is the gamut of the Jewish community. And it basically has whatever you need. It's been flourishing the last several years. Lots of kolim and yeshivas of all different types of schools, day schools. Many people have moved in over recent years. Thank God it's still pretty affordable to move into the larger Detroit Jewish community. Tons of children, and I always like telling the story. About a year ago, I was in New York. I had to come in for the day to visit someone who unfortunately was not well. I had a few hours on my, a few hours until I had the appointment, and I realized I had nothing to do in New York. There was nothing that I needed to get. There was nothing. My family who lives there, they were all working. So I actually went to Yeshiva University, went to learn in the Beis Medrash for a couple of hours. But really, anything that you need, thank God that the community provides here in Detroit.
That's great. Let's take things back a couple of years, going back to when you decided to go into smicha. What motivated you, what drove you to go into the rabbinate and become a pulpit rabbi?
That's a great question. So a lot of people motivated me, certainly my family and some rabbis and mentors. I always like also telling the story. I think today my mother and my aunt are on the phone call, so I'll give credit to their father. My grandfather was a rabbi in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for 50-plus years, Rabbi David Silver.
Wow.
And at my bar mitzvah, he spoke, the rabbi of my shul, Rabbi Shai Klimnik, asked him to give the drasha that Shabbos. And before the bar mitzvah, my grandfather asked me what I enjoy. So it was right around the World Series time, 1988, if I remember correctly, and I said baseball. So my grandfather spoke about baseball in the drasha, and he said the most important player on the team is the pitcher. The pitcher sets the tone, and the pitcher really the game goes according to how the pitcher is doing. And he said in the Jewish world, the rabbi is the pitcher. And his message to me is that I should become the pitcher. So I can't tell you I decided when I was 13 to become a rabbi, but that was part of my family for years. My grandfather, my great grandfather, uncles, lots of them. My brother now is a rabbi, so it's always been on the radar.
Wow, beautiful. Sounds like apples and trees. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Lastly, one last question for you. Of course, we know there's no prophets here, but if you did have a glimpse into the future, with all of the changes that have been taking place because of the pandemic and because of all of the many issues that we have seen in this year of 2020, which is almost about to ring its bell, what communal changes do you anticipate will stay post-pandemic?
Well, I'll tell you two things quickly that I think will stay, and one thing that I hope will not stay. The two things that I think will stay is, number one, what we're doing right now. I think the technological advances that we've had and the innovative programming the ability to bring in the speakers. You can be in south of Michigan, and we can have speakers literally from all over the world through Zoom and other technological gadgets and abilities that we have. I think those things will stay. I hope the simchas will stay similar. I think we've learned that you can make much smaller simchas and much less expensive, and they can be incredibly beautiful and meaningful and special and delicious. I've done several weddings over the last few months, and they've been just beautiful. And so I hope we recognize and realize that we don't have to break the bank, and that we can still make some really special, beautiful simchas moving forward in a similar manner to which we've done recently. And the one thing that I hope does not stay the same, and I hope maybe we'll revert back, as I know there's been a lot of talk and discussion about people enjoying their private minyanim, their backyard minyanim, and their tents. And I think there's a lot of value with them. I think people having the opportunity to participate more in the davening, to lead the davening is special. But I don't think they're their ideal. I don't think it's what the Torah wants from us. Over and over again, if you look in the Nevi'im, in the Torah itself, there's a prohibition against bamos, against private altars. These private altars were altars where people brought sacrifices to God, but they weren't allowed. You were supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the reason for that, I believe, is besides the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, was that's where Jews encountered one another. That's when we learned from each other. And when we have our private small minyanim, we're not part of the larger community. We don't interact with one another. We're with our friends, and it's comfortable. But I believe that God wants us to be together. Sort of the anti-message I said at the beginning about the power of the Jewish home. The power of the Jewish home is paramount. It's the most important institution in Judaism. But the shul and the community gatherings, that's when we come together as a tzibur. And therefore, I hope that we once again will come back together as a community. And just to conclude and maybe to offer some hopeful evidence of that is that in our shul a few weeks ago, we started our, in a safe manner, we started to have our Matzei Shabbos learning with parents and their children. And I can tell you that a lot of people have not been coming to shul because of the pandemic, the lack of social opportunities. I was scared about how many people showed up. We had to really make sure we had a safe environment. I think people are craving to come back together to have a meaningful programming. And I think it's ultimately what, as Jews, what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come together.
Beautiful. Rabbi Morris, thank you very much for being on the call today and for providing us with a glimpse into your community and, as well as mentioned, for your tfilos and dibrei chizuk. As with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all those in need will be answered l'tova. And may the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for words of inspiration from Rabbi Benny Krohn of Young Israel of Teaneck in Teaneck, New Jersey. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy,